This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
I'd like to share with us briefly on decision-making, making godly decisions. As you know, that our 30 minutes with GSW are words of encouragement, admonition, and sometimes we get chastened. And it is all for our own good. But this morning, we're going to be talking about decision making, making godly decisions. There are times where what we want and what God wants are not always aligned. There are times you would desire to go to the left and God will tell you to go to the right. There are times you want to be friend with a person and God will tell you not to be friend with that person but to be friend with somebody else. There are times you want to go to a country and God will tell you not to go to that country but to go to another. There are times you want to make a decision that you believe is good for your life and you'll be shocked that it will seem as if God is standing in your way or God does not want you to have that which your heart desires. While God does not force himself on us to superimpose his will on us and show us the fullness of his sovereign power by making us, by subjecting us to the mentality of slaves, because it is only slaves that do only their father's or their master's bidding with fear. God encourages us to obey him and follow his instructions with love. Now, the thing about love is this. Love can only thrive in liberty. When love is forced or constrained, it becomes an issue. When a husband marries a wife and he forces her to do things for him, cook for me, wash my clothes, this is your duty, you have to do this, you have to do that, it is no longer love. It has become a duty. And the pattern of that marriage, you will notice, will move from the freedom and the liberty that love offers to, I'm just doing my duty. The husband will say, as long as I provide food in this house, you have a duty. As long as I provide for you and meet your needs, then you also have a duty to meet my needs. So it is no longer the kind of marriage you want. You want the kind of relationship where you freely give and you are freely given. You want the kind of relationship where the feedbacks you get are not condemning. They can correct. They can affirm. But it is based on the freedom of expression, the freedom you have to express your love in the best way that you can. And this is also the basis of decision making in our relationship with God. God wants you to do things the right way. I know that you also want to do things the right way. So in that, you and God are aligned. However, what you see as right and what God sees as right can sometimes be a bit confusing. The Bible told us about Prophet Samuel when he was going to choose David. God was the one that told him where to go. go to the house of Jesse, prepare an animal so that we can make a feast. I've chosen for myself a king from among them. But the Bible said, when he saw Eliab, the first son of Jesse, tall, handsome, and strong, that Samuel immediately wanted to go with Eliab. And if Samuel did not have the Spirit of God indeed, if he was just somebody who was given the instruction, let's say the way Elisha gave Gehazi his staff to go and raise the dead, let's say that was how Samuel called Nathan or Gad, the young prophets under him, and he told them, go to the house of Jesse and anoint a king. Those guys will have anointed the wrong person. They would have been on track by going to the house of Jesse, but by virtue of using their sight, using their physical eyes and their senses to make a decision, they will have made an enormous mistake. We should learn to make decisions by the Spirit. And decisions that are made by the Spirit always prove to be the best decisions ever made. Always. Always. When decisions are being made by the Spirit and not by the senses, one of the things you will notice is it wouldn't seem as if the decisions are palatable, logical, or as if they made sense. A man had 8 sons. 7 were old, and all 7 were older. And the 8th was in the field taking care of sheep. A prophet comes to the house, he didn't go to the field. He went to the house, prepared the feast. Only God knows the number of hours he had to wait for Samuel to come. Somebody had to run to the field, and then that person had to drag this guy and say, they are looking for you at home. And the prophet said, they will not sit down until he arrives. The feast was ready. At the house God said he should go to, but the person God sent him to was not there. If he does not know the voice of God, if he didn't do it by the Spirit, he would surely have done it the wrong way. Surely, 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 he will have done it the wrong way. When we make decisions by the Spirit, let us learn to accept that God has a plan that may not be so obvious to us. You see, we all want things to fall into place in a logical manner. You want things to happen in a way that you set it. And with God, things don't always happen that way. I remember clearly when my daughter was very ill, and all the hope that I had in making her better lied with doctors. I remember how I would have booked an appointment ahead with a pediatrician, with a nutritionist. I would ask my whole calendar for the whole my calendar for the whole day. And my plan was that get to the hospital today, see all these specialists and solve this problem. And solve this problem. Just see them. And I will get there early. I will make sure I do everything. And without food, fasting, praying, carrying the child, God, this child, God, trying very hard, making decisions, trying very hard, all the things. Every time I see somebody, refer me to somebody else, see this one, refer me to Jola, from Jola, refer me to St. Nicholas, from there, refer me to another one on the island. or just going from hospital to hospital, from specialist to specialist, making decisions based on logic, trying to solve a physical health challenge. And I was at it for 2 years. And then right after that, 2 years, when she just clocked 2, and she was moving into her 3rd year, maybe just 2 months after her second birthday, the Lord said to me, drop everything and honor this invitation to minister in choir. I said, who will take care of this girl when I'm not around? Well, because of her, I didn't take any invitation. I was very careful because she needed 24 hours care. You needed to be there, to be present. Otherwise, she could just die. I mean, she does not eat, she does not cry, she does not take water. So I had to use syringe to put food in her mouth. Maybe every 30 minutes, I would use the syringe to draw some milk, and then I'll force it down, and then I'll press it into her mouth so that she can have sustenance. And that was how I was raising her, because nobody could diagnose what was wrong with her. So if I wasn't around, who would be patient enough to do that? And what if nobody gave her food or water, and then she just died? I didn't have water. They said no. And then the Lord said, no, drop her. Drop her and go to choir. And I said, yes, sir. My God. And I closed my mind to it. I got a carer to come to the house. I gave the carer instructions. And I just told the person, just whether I come back, she's alive or dead, it's not in the hand of God. The Lord has sent me to go do something. And I went for that crusade in choir. Remember, it was a 3 days event. And after the 3rd day, when I was coming back, and when I was in choir, there was no phone service, so nobody could call me. I couldn't check up. I just had to trust, to hope. And when I got back home and I saw she was alive, my God, you know, with joy, I carried her, put her on my legs, and then I began to praise God and I began to pray in tongues. And that same day, not the next day, around 9:15 or 9:30, between 9:15 and 9:30 p.m., she got healed. Totally healed. So today, every time we go out and I see her talking, bubbling, jumping, you know, I've been looking at her like, wow. See, when God decides on a path and God says, this is what to do, we may not see the end result of it, but God is God for that reason. So we don't try to preempt God. We don't try to be smarter than God. We try to just allow God lead us. And we follow Him knowing He has our best interest at heart. And this is how we follow God. What did He say we should do? Let's do it. The two things I've learned is that while you are following God, you can make mistakes. You can assume that God is going in a direction only to find out God is not in that direction. When you find out you have strayed away from God, please correct your path. Again, God says, go to the right, and you are going to the right. And then instead of you to be following God, in that same right, you saw another right turn and you follow it. So you moved out of the path. But you are assuming that you are still following God. Once you realize that, hey, I can no longer see the guiding light. Don't be obstinate. Don't be stubborn. Turn around immediately. There is nothing to gain by going in the wrong direction, hoping you will catch God in front. Turn back. Going back, I remember clearly one time in my life when we were in a church and we had outgrown the church and COVID was happening and God led us to another church. I went to this church and we started this church and the church was like started the service this day and on that same day, population was over 200. Like, it wasn't the church that was growing small, small, small. We entered that church and we filled it up in one day. And I thought, oh, okay. I had an office there, had everything. And I thought to myself, okay, this is where God wanted us to be. And after some time, the Lord said to me, no, I didn't call you to be a pastor or to sit over a church. As long as you put yourself in this one location, you will not fulfill my goal. I called you to be a teacher of the verities of the kingdom, not just a word teacher that is teaching English, to teach people the supernatural realities of the spirit, breaking down to them the fullness of and the intricate details of the supernatural aspect of their salvation and the workings of the spirit. You cannot do that sitting in one church. So I want you to get out of this place and pull out entirely as a ministry. I almost collapsed. Because that was like a place of rest. There was office, there was soul, there was this, it was answered prayer. And yet the Lord said, pull out. And the Lord did not say, pull out and go to, I'll prepare for you another office somewhere. He didn't give me any other office. He didn't tell me where to go. He just said, get out of there. Not to discontinue my relationship with that church, but not to sit down there as a pastor. Because as I was in that church, I was unofficially the pastor of the church. And that role is a role that I would play with all my heart. I don't do anything halfway. So if I'm available, I will be available to a call, to a tea. And since I was there, I was basically just playing that role. And God didn't want to play in the role of a pastor. So God said, pull out. And I did it. Because I realized that was not his plan. And when I did it and moved in the direction he wanted me to go to, things began to happen the way he wanted them to happen, which has led us to become the global ministry that we have become today, and not just one local ministry situated in one local area. Because I was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. You may not know the full plan, but the first thing to be right about is to be right where he is. Remember that song, I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. The mistake many of us make is that we sometimes confuse our personal desire with what God wants. Or some of us don't even care about what God wants. We just want God to assent. We want God to say yes. Our desire. So if you want to do A, you pursue it. When you get it, you then go and give thanks, or you do thanksgiving, or you give testimony. And you conclude that since you've gotten it, that means God wanted you to have it. It is not everything we have that God wanted us to have. It's not everything that we are holding that is the will of God for us. It's not every friendship or relationship that is the will of God for us. Sometimes you find yourself in a relationship and you know that you're not supposed to be in it. But ego and sometimes reputation would want you to stay in it because you don't want to give people a wrong impression of yourself, even though you know you are in a bad place. You're like, okay, I don't want people to, but that's, God is not concerned about you not acknowledging that you are wrong and then making amends. God is very concerned about you insisting on being wrong simply because of your ego or simply because of your reputation. That can ruin your relationship with God. That's between the obedience to God and your own ego or your own reputation, you chose protecting your reputation above obeying God. This was what Saul did. When Samuel came to him and said, I'm going to come to you in 3 days to make a sacrifice. Samuel did not arrive on time. Saul killed the sacrifice. And Samuel came and said, why did you do this foolish thing? He should have apologized immediately. Ah, my father, I'm sorry. I was jittery. People were leaving. I didn't know you were still coming. I wanted those, I didn't want to, the troop to scatter. You know, could have just, and Samuel would have felt like, oh, you are just inexperienced and this and that. Immediately, he was on the defensive. And when they told him that his kingdom has been taken from him, he told Samuel that, don't leave me, just make sure people see you with me, that we have a united front. And you will see from there that his heart wasn't really in it. I'm asking you to make sure that your heart is in your walk with God. That even if it will cost you a bit of your ego, or your reputation, do the right thing. If you are following the wrong partner, turn around. Say, hey, God has warned me several times. Turn around now. And if there's a decision God has told you to, something God has told you to do you've not done, obey God immediately. Do it without thinking twice about it. As I begin to round off today, I'm going to encourage us to please lend a hand to the widow's ministry. Every month we give widow's stipend. We increase the money to 7,500 per widow. At the end of, I believe, at the beginning of this new government in Nigeria. But I noticed that their reserves had continued to dwindle as a result of the disbursements that we are doing globally. It is true that apart from those ones, we have other orphanages and widows that we take care of, and we take care of them every month. But the widows will have to be paid, I believe, this week. And I believe that they should have more than enough. So if you have anything to spare, please reach out to this sister, Mr. Yabo Statuchi, get the widow's account. And please remember them. It is important that we take care of those that the Lord really care about. God is the husband of the widow and is the father of the fatherless. We have a duty to play that role as long as we are here and we are the ones representing him. So please don't forget this. As you go to different churches, ministries, and ministrations today, I declare that you are blessed. I declare that you walk with God and nobody will be able to tell the difference between you and God. That God at work in you will be so evident. Everybody that sees you will say, this is indeed a child of God. Thank you, Father, for your word this year. It is amen, and we are blessed in you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmy.com.